You're listening to special inauguration coverage with Rick and Donna Martinez here on News Talk 680 WPTF. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, everyone. Well, in less than 3 hours, 47-year-old Barack Obama will be sworn in as the 44th president of the United States, the first African-American to hold the office. Now, of course, it is an historic day for every American, Democrat, Republicans alike. But what do the next 4 years mean specifically for Republicans who find themselves in the minority in a city that operates on power? Joining us now with his perspective is Senator Richard Burr. Senator, welcome to WPTF.
Donna, good morning. Rick, good morning. Greetings from Washington at a wind chill of 9 degrees.
Uh-oh.
So, give us an idea of just the mood and the emotional temperature of our nation's capital.
Oh, listen, 2 million plus people are here, excited, energized. They see this as a historic event. And the one noticeable thing, and it's noticeable every 4 years, we'll make a transition in government, and there won't be troops in the street. There won't be any type of looting or risk. We make a seamless transition.
Well, Senator Burr, the new president is not only a friend of yours, he has been a colleague of yours, and in fact, we understand that you got a call from the president-elect last week. What was that conversation like?
Well, we did have an opportunity to talk for about 10 minutes, and he had some specific things he wanted to talk about, but he also, I think, has gauged me and others as to how he's responded with his early nominations. I encouraged him, suggested to him that he's now done the easy stuff, and the tough stuff is the nominations that he makes underneath, and more importantly, the agenda that he chooses to pursue and how he chooses to pursue that. This is a town where process potentially can kill anything. But if you approach it in a bipartisan way, if you realize you can't always win, if you realize that balance is essential at the end of the day in legislation, then he will go down in the history books not just as the first black president, but as a great president. That's all in his hands right now.
Senator, I don't think you're still in your first term, but you've been speaking to people who have been in Washington for a long time. What grade are they giving President-elect Obama on how he's handled the transition? And what is their opinion of the team that he has assembled thus far?
Well, Rick, as it relates to the team, I'm not sure that he could have made better picks. Certainly, we've got some controversy around his Secretary of Treasury and Attorney General. We'll iron that out over the next several weeks. We'll go in this afternoon, the United States Senate, and by voice vote confirm a number of his secretary nominations so that they will be official this afternoon. Our work doesn't end there. It continues on probably through July and August as they begin to fill deputy secretaries and undersecretaries and assistant secretaries. And I think one of the things that's lost, especially on my colleagues over on the House, I spent 10 years there and never realized the amount of work that the Senate puts into confirming nominees of the president, whether it's for the court, whether it's for agencies, whether it's for commissions. And this is going to be a full-time job for the United States Senate for probably 4 to 6 months.
Senator Burr, let's talk about some of the major challenges that the new president will face. I'm sure as you are aware, there are a number of defenders of the free market and fiscal conservatives who are very, very concerned about the direction, the fiscal direction that this country is taking. What is your view on the fact that the American taxpayer is now becoming an investor in private industry? Yeah. Correct move or incorrect move?
Well, I think that I would not do what we did relative to stabilizing our financial markets. We had to do that. I voted last week not to make available the next $350 billion because the choice to increase the capitalization of banks means that we become a preferred shareholder. If at any point our preferred status gets too big, then one can claim that we've nationalized the bank. But more importantly, we would take every common shareholder and basically make their holdings worthless. That's not what we want to do. We want to have stability, but we want the marketplace to work. So rather than do anything right now, I think it's a time to step back and to allow the private sector to begin to heal itself. Hopefully, we will have a lengthy and open and transparent debate on the stimulus package. If we don't, I think the American people need to understand the majority in Congress plans to spend $1.2 to $1.3 trillion over the next 90 days. And that can that could potentially mean that we own certain sectors of our economy, which is not what we're supposed to do. But it also means that we're going to waste a lot of taxpayer money, and future generations are going to be taxed in an unbelievable way to pay off that debt.
Well, Senator Burr, with the Republicans now firmly in the minority in Washington, D.C., exactly how do you see your role in trying to stave off additional taxpayer investment in the private economy?
Donna, it's very simple. We have to be a great communicator to the American people about what the solutions are to these very real problems that we've got. And it doesn't stop with the economy. It goes on to health care and education and energy policy. When you become the minority, it doesn't mean that you just go by the wayside and that you don't voice your opinions with the American people. I think for too long now, we've only voiced that in Washington. This is something that we have to get out across America, because I think what the American people did in the November elections is they voted for real change to find real solutions to big problems. If they don't get those solutions from this administration, trust me, in 4 years, they'll make a change again. But I want to make sure that Republicans are out, and Democrats, if they're willing to do it, with real solutions to those very big problems.
Senator, are Republicans in between a rock and a hard spot, given that the Obama administration, as you said, you know, they're looking to spend over $1 trillion in the next 90 days to, quote, get the economy moving? And yet you have a certain part of the Republican Party, and certainly conservatives, including those with awfully big platforms such as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, which is heard on this station, saying that the Republicans need to stand up. Are you torn between those two schools of thought?
Not at all, Rick, because if you asked any economist in Washington or around the world today, if I gave you $350 billion in TARP, how would you spend it? They would all look at you and say, we don't know. There's not an obvious place for the American taxpayer to make investment, which brings us to some type of economic recovery. At best, what they're doing is a very shotgun approach. Do you realize in the House Democrat bill there's $21 million to re-turf the National Mall in Washington? I'm sure if you happen to be the one that grew the grass or got the contract to lay it, that means that you're ecstatic. But what does that do to stimulate broadly the U.S. economy? Nothing. And I think everything in the stimulus package should be put through that test. Does it stimulate job growth? Does it stimulate economic activity? And is it broad-based? If it doesn't pass that test, it shouldn't be in. It should go in the regular appropriations bill. But I think what you've seen in the House stimulus package, quite frankly, is 12 years worth of projects that they couldn't get through the normal process with Republicans and Democrats, and now they've tried to cram it into an economic stimulus. We only get one shot at doing the right thing. If we miss that opportunity, the length of this economic downturn could be severe.
Well, Senator Burr, there are a lot of Republicans and specifically fiscal conservatives in North Carolina who are looking to you to help stave off this current trend that is happening with investment in the private economy. And we understand that you have picked up some additional power recently in the Senate. Tell us about that.
Well, I was asked to serve as Chief Deputy Whip and have agreed to do that. I'll also make an announcement probably tomorrow, Donna, that the minority leader has asked me, in addition to the committees I currently serve on, to also serve on the Armed Services Committee. So my plate has become more than full. It gives me an opportunity to be in the room as we discuss the strategies and the process. It gives me an opportunity to work with colleagues that I work with every day, like Tom Coburn and Jim DeMint, who are really concerned and really vocal on the the fiscal side of our job here. And I think that you'll see us express that at the leadership table so that hopefully there can be consensus and one message that comes from Republicans. We wish the president-elect the best. And if at the end of this process history looks at him and says he accomplished big things, it'll be because he was willing to work with Republicans, not necessarily because the Democrat majority of Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid steamrolled the Republicans. We've still got 41 seats, and that means that collectively Republicans can stop anything in the Senate. This isn't a time to talk about stopping. This is a time to talk about presenting a better solution than maybe the majority has.
Senator Richard Burr, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining our special inauguration coverage this morning on WPTF.
Rick and Donna, thank you so much. I'm sure the kids in eastern North Carolina are enjoying the snow today.
They are. The rest of us are trying to stay off the roads.
Well, I can only tell you, as one of several hundred thousand who will enjoy the inaugural festivities from now till about 1 o'clock. We are sure glad that the snow is going to bypass Washington, D.C.
There you go. Enjoy the day, Senator. Thank you.
Bye-bye.